Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast again today. We're sharing with you on the subject of accurate New Testament prayer. We're learning how to pray according to the Word of God. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And when we ask, that's the Greek word aiteo, making a legal demand of what's due us. We pray a prayer of faith that has two aspects. We receive, which is the Greek word lambano, which is a self-prompted taking hold of, an active taking hold of, or active reception. And we do it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving always shows forth faith. So whenever we pray, we're going to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, thanking Him as we declare what His Word says, returning it to Him, making our legal demand, and believing that we take hold of that with thanksgiving, and we pray continuously to see the results. Now, there are some prayers that we only need to pray once. And in the last broadcast, we talked about some of those, such as praying for receiving Jesus, our personal Lord and Savior, for getting born again. It's a one-time type of thing. We'd come and pray to Him to receive Jesus, our personal Lord and Savior. We would confess that Jesus has been raised from the dead in line with the Scriptures. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord, and we would be receiving Him, taking Him as our personal Lord and Savior. And when we do that, then we will be born again. There's an immediate change. Same thing in receiving the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit is subsequent to salvation. And we take a scripture such as, "How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" We ask our Heavenly Father to give us the Holy Spirit. The reason is because we need to receive the Holy Spirit. And we make legal demand, according to the Word, for Him to give us the Holy Spirit. We believe that we now take hold of and receive the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us. And we thank Him for it. And the Holy Spirit does come and dwell in us immediately. We also gave the example in the area of healing, which is something that we would pray once and continue to pray until we would see the desired results. We would speak what the Word says, such as Exodus 15:26, "I'm the Lord that healeth thee." Psalms 103:3, "He's the one who heals us of all of our diseases." 1 Peter 2:24, "Whose own self bear our own sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Peter looking back on the cross, that healing was accomplished. Therefore, we would come and say, "Father, Your Word declares You're the one who heals me of all diseases. You're the Lord, the I Am that healeth me. And You healing me of all diseases, You provided for on the cross, by whose stripes ye were healed." Healing legally belongs to me, because Jesus took my infirmities, bore away my sicknesses, and I now make legal demand for the release of Your healing power to flow into my body, and I believe that I receive with thanksgiving Your healing power flowing into my body right now in Jesus' name. I thank You that it is flowing in my body, healing me and restoring me now. And you declare that and keep declaring that and keep speaking that forth until you see the desired results. As you believe, if you believe that you're taking hold of it and you believe that healing's flowing into you based on how to pray accurately and based on the will of God, which is the Word and all the promises, then it's going to happen. Remember, according to your faith, be it unto you. And as you believe, it shall come to pass. But you are the one who's going to speak it forth. Prayer is the means whereby you release this promise, such as healing, to come to pass in your life. Now let's look at another area, and that would, let's say, be the area of forgiveness. Forgiveness is something where we need some actions, first of all, before we're going to be able to pray. Of course, we look at the scripture, Psalms 103, verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Well, praise God, we got the promise that God forgives us of all of our iniquities. He's the guy, God will forgive us and not remember our sins or iniquities anymore. Hebrews 8:12. Then we see a scripture in 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Of course, if we're going to be forgiven, we first got to acknowledge that we've sinned. We've got to have an attitude that we want to repent and turn from it. And we're going to come and confess, declare those sins. So what are we going to do? Based on the scriptures, we're going to come and pray a prayer something like this. "Father, Your Word declares that You forgive us of all of our iniquities as we confess our sins to You and receive forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness due to sin, according to Psalms 103 and 1 John 1:9. in accordance with these scriptures, I come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I confess my sins to you now. You can confess them specifically. If you don't know them all, confess all sins that you've committed knowingly or unknowingly. I make legal demand for your forgiveness, and I believe that I receive and take hold of your forgiveness right now, and I thank you that I am forgiven of my sins, and I am cleansed from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. A prayer like that has received forgiveness. Now, one thing, you need to declare that you are forgiven of sins and that you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. A lot of people just confess their sins, but they don't actually receive and take hold of their forgiveness and their cleansing. Be sure that when you're praying a prayer of forgiveness, that you are receiving that forgiveness and declaring that you are cleansed, so you believe that you are cleansed. That's important. Another thing that we can do in a practical application of New Testament prayer is praying the scriptures in a personal manner, which is tremendously powerful. Let's look at one example, such as in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus, and he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Well, what can you pray? You can pray a personal prayer by personalizing a prayer like this that Paul prayed, such as you can pray to the Heavenly Father. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give unto me, or give unto someone's name. You just plug their name in of whoever you're praying for, that you may give unto so-and-so the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of so-and-so or my understanding is be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and that I might know what is the exceeding greatness of your power to me who is a believer, according to the working of your mighty power. There you're taking the scriptures and you're personalizing them for yourself. Another example would be over in Ephesians chapter 3, where he prayed another prayer for the church at Ephesus. There he prayed that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Plug your name into that, whatever it is. You might say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you grant unto me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I would be rooted and grounded in love, that I may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and length and depth and height, and I might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. And you can pray for other people that way. Just plug in their name and start praying the scriptures. Praise God. There's another one of these over in Philippians chapter 1 where he prayed for the church at Philippi. There that they would abound, their love would abound more and more in knowledge and judgment. They'd prove things that are excellent. They'd be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And they'd be filled with the fruits of righteousness. You can pray that prayer and plug in your name or someone else's name. Another one's over in Colossians chapter 1. He prayed for the church at Colossae, from verse 9 on through verse 12, where he prayed a prayer there, making legal demand that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who's made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, you just plug your name in and personalize that type of scripture. If Paul prayed these for the churches, then it certainly is good enough for us to pray for specific individuals or for ourselves the Word of God. Here's another one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. So pray a prayer like that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are causing me and making me increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, and to the end that you may establish my heart unblameable in holiness before you at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you start plugging in these personalized scriptures into your prayer life, and you're going to be praying scriptural prayers. This will be practically applying the Word of God. Let's say you're going to pray for someone to be saved. You might take a scripture like 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And then 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, as the image of God, should shine into them. Then you might take a scripture like Psalms 119:130, the entrance of the words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. And then Matthew 9:38, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Then you might take these scriptures and formulate some prayer, something like this. Heavenly Father, I pray for so and so. It is your will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Your word declares that it's the God of this world who's blinded the minds of those that believe not. Your word declares that the light of the glorious gospel can shine into us. The entrance of the word gives light, and I thank you it gives understanding when the word comes in. I'm praying for so and so, and I thank you that you are opening the eyes of their understanding. I thank you for sending the word to them. I loose the blinders that Satan's had over their mind, and I thank you for the entrance of the words giving light, bringing understanding, and I thank you for the laborers going forth and speaking the word of God unto them. And I thank you for them coming to the place of receiving the knowledge of the truth, acting upon it, and receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and being born again. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. See, you just take these scriptures and just personalize them and pray the word. When you pray, learn to pray the word. Take the scriptures, get scriptures from all over the Word of God, and start praying them specifically so that you'll be praying scriptural prayers. God is going to honor the word. When you return the word, that's making a legal demand, pray a prayer of faith, believing you receive with thanksgiving, and speak it forth continuously, declaring what he's doing, and you'll see effective New Testament prayer. We'll see you on the next broadcast. God bless you. As I close today, do you realize that the number one negative influence in your life is inherited generational curses? This is because the iniquities of the forefathers are passed down to the children to the third and fourth generations. These curses, enforced by demonic spirits, must be broken and the spirits must be cast out. We break inherited curses and cast out these spirits in our Healing, Deliverance, and Counseling Center. If you would like personal ministry, please call 268-WORD. That's 268-9673. And now, until I greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a doer of the Word of God.